It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
You know, sometimes we get in our minds that we know more than God, but God knows best. And sometimes we want to jump ahead of God, and we want to do what we want to do instead of what He wants us to do. We think it's best. Well, God, He knows what's best, and we need to be listening to the Lord and follow His instructions. And we see this somewhat like this in the book of Acts in chapter 16, where Paul had intended to go one place, but God wanted him to go another place. And this came by way of a vision, and we call this the Macedonian, once again, the Macedonian call. And as we look at this in chapter 16 of the book of Acts, in verse 9 it says, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us." Once again, Paul is convinced by God to go to Macedonia. Acts chapter 16 and verse 10 says, "And after he had seen the vision," this is Paul, "immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." Well, here we have the word "we." Now, once again, you and I need to understand that the book of Acts was written by Luke the physician. And here in Acts chapter 16 and verse 10, it indicates that Luke was there. And we see here the first use of the word "we" in the narrative instead of "they." So I believe this seems to indicate that Luke, the author of the book of Acts, joined the missionary party at Troas. Well, now as we look further, we look in Acts chapter 16, verses 11 through 13, where it says, "Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Thracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city, abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither." Well, and we keep reading here, and we see that God is working. He's saving people. And in Acts 16:14, it says, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul." Lydia, she was a Jewish woman, but as a native of Thyatira, had evidently attended the synagogue there and become one of the worshipers of God in their congregation. And when she heard the gospel, the Lord opened her heart, and she believed, according to Acts chapter 16, verse 14. Well, notice Lydia and the family. They were saved and baptized. In Acts chapter 16, verse 15, it says, "And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us." Well, after Lydia and her household are saved and baptized, she persuades Paul's company to stay at her house. She was opening her home. And once again, we as individuals, we need to not only open our hearts, but there are times when we need to help others. Those of us who know Jesus Christ as Savior, we need to help other Christians. Maybe they're in need, and we need to help them. They may not have a place to stay, and sometimes it would be possible for us to bring them even into our home and keep them there for a certain period of time to help them on their way. And God blesses that type of individual, that Christian, who has a heart to help other Christians. Well, notice this in Acts chapter 16, and we read this all the way through verse 40. And in 16, Acts 16, 16, it says, "And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. In other words, she was a fortune teller. Now, the spirit of divination was actually a psychotic spirit. In other words, snake. It is so named because of the legendary serpent slain by Apollo, who supposedly was the god of prophecy. Well, this is nothing more than demonism. And demons know. They watch. And we understand that this same girl who is possessed with a demon proclaims Paul's company to be servants of God. She recognized them. And of course, this was the demon recognizing them. And she actually proclaims that they have the way of salvation. And she does this for several days. Now, Paul listened and put up with her proclamation until it became such a burden, in other words, it grieved him, that he casts out the spirit in the name of Jesus. Notice in verse 17 of Acts 16, we'll read verse 18 as well. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." Verse 18, "And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour." After this took place, you see the young woman's masters seized Paul and Silas and dragged them before the magistrates. And they're accused of being troublemakers, teaching unlawful customs. And they are beaten with rods and put in the inner prison, and their feet are put in stocks. Notice in Acts 16, verses 19 through 24, we read of this. "And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and threw them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks." In other words, they were given extra special attention here. They were placed, we have the term placed under the jail a lot. I've heard that term. Well, they were placed under the jail. In other words, they were placed in a place where there was no way for them to escape. Well, notice this. God has other plans for these people here. We see Paul and Silas and also the jailer. Well, there was a prayer meeting held within that jail, within that prison. At midnight, Paul and Silas are praying and singing hymns. Remember, these men had just been beaten. They were beaten and mistreated, but here they are praying and singing hymns. And as the prisoners are listening, there's a great earthquake opening the doors and loosening the prisoners' chains. Now, we pick up here in Acts 16, verses 23 through 28, and we see what happened. "And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison." This is Paul and Silas. "Charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust him into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Well, there's something else that takes place now. This jailer, he asks for a light. He asks for a light and falls down before Paul. Let's read that in Acts chapter 16, verses 29 through 34. "Then he," that's the jailer, "called for a light, saying, for a light, and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. I don't think that we understand sometimes what really happens to people who get saved. Even once again, we look back in the Old Testament, this man was a jailer and he could have been put to death, physical death. But thank God he received eternal life when he received Jesus Christ as his Savior. And this was through the teaching or preaching of Paul and Silas, as they told him what to do to be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. He believed him, and he not only got saved, he helped these prisoners. He brought Paul and Silas out and he fed them. He took care of them. Well, notice here in Acts chapter 16 and verse 35 through 39, let's read that. And when it was day, the magistrates sent the sergeants saying, let those men go. And the keeper of the prison told the saying to Paul, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. But Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privately? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out. And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. They came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And Paul here demands satisfaction. And after the conversion of the Philippian jailer and his family, the next day the magistrates send officers to release Paul and Silas. And when the jailer tells Paul he's free to go, Paul demands that the magistrates come personally, as they have beaten Roman citizens without a trial. So the magistrates, now afraid, come personally to release Paul and Silas and to plead for them to leave the city. And we've just read that in Acts chapter 16, verse 35 through 39. Do you know him today as your Savior? You need to trust him as that Philippian jailer did. You need to listen to what the Bible says. Once again, the Philippian jailer said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul told him to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And that's what you need to do today. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you need to call upon him today. And the Bible talks about that we need to turn from sin. Well, we turn from sin when we get saved. We turn from sin. In other words, we don't want to sin, but the sin is still present with us because we're still in this body. But once we get saved, God says that sin is gone. We are no longer under the curse of sin. It says, for by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. In other words, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, you're a sinner, and you need to acknowledge that. Repent means that you have a change of mind, that you're willing to go God's way now instead of your way. How do you get saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He was crucified, buried, and resurrected. He is God. Believe on him, trust him, and he will take you to heaven because you receive him as Lord and Savior.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.